Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is Tes Zion in Chulin. We're going to start back on the Mishnah on Tes Vav Amud Beis. So far the discussions we had in Chulin over the course of the first parak is who can shecht, and that was the first sugya of the Masechta, which went approximately 2 weeks. Then on Daf Yidal, we started with the question of when can a person shecht. Right, actually starts on the bottom. You give them a base, shechting at night, shechting on Shabbos, and now the Mishnah turns its attention to what about the object itself? What do you shecht with? Okay, so I guess most people would assume you shecht with a knife, which is, I think, a pretty fair assumption because that's what we shecht with. But as the Mishnah is about to teach us, that's not it's not exclusive. Hashochim b'magalya b'tzur v'karna shechita sukshar. So if you shecht, says the Mishnah, with a magalya is a sickle. Right, the thing you find on the Russian flag. Yeah. So hashochi b'magal yad b'tzur v'kane, or if you shecht with a stone, or if you shecht with a reed, so shechita sukshera. So sounds like from the Mishnah that knife is by far and away the best thing. Yeah, you shecht with a metal knife, but the Mishnah says that you can shecht with a host of other things as well. Although if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah's lashon is shechita sukshera, which means that b'di'evet it's okay. Certainly not the best. Lechatzchila you shouldn't shecht with a stone, with a reed, or with a sickle, but. But at least b'di'evet the shechita is going to be good shechita. Okay? But then the Mishnah is obviously, not obviously, then the Mishnah is going to be very confusing because then the Mishnah goes on to say, Hakol shochtin, lo'olon shochtin, v'chol shochtin. Hakol shochtin, everybody can shecht, which is a reiterance of what we saw in the first Mishnah in the Masechta, right? Everybody, right? We're all inclusive in the world of shechita. Who is he coming to include? So that's the first two dapim of the Masechta. Lo'olam shechtin, and you can shecht pretty much any time you want. You can shecht day, you can shecht night. You can shecht on Shabbos, although we'll qualify. That makes you a mumma lechal Shabbos b'far hesia, and for that day you're not allowed to eat it as well. But okay, and you're mechal Shabbos. But in other words, but the point is that really there's no time that's limited in terms of when you could shecht. Uvik kol shochting, and you can shecht with whatever you want. I mean, you could use whatever instrument you want. Chutz mi magal ksir v'hamagera v'hashinayim v'tziporin. Except for magal ksir, you can't use the serrated sickle. You can't use the saw, also has a serrated edge. You can't use shinam, you can't use teeth. Teeth over here, referring to the jaw of an animal. Right? Take the jaw of an animal, right? Nice sharp teeth of that jaw of the animal, and shecht using the jawbone of an animal. Can't do that. The hatziporin, you can't use the fingernail as well, because these choke, they don't cut. Time and again, we said throughout the Masechta that shechita is a cutting action, and it cannot be neither a pushing action nor can it be a tearing action. All these things with a serrated edge have a tearing action. It's what the Mishnah refers to as chonkin. They choke the animal, they don't cut the animal, and we need a cutting action. Okay, the Mishnah is extraordinarily confusing because the Mishnah first starts off by saying stone, reed, it's okay. B'di'evet, it's okay. But then the Mishnah says, right, the uvichol shochtin, you can shecht with whatever you want, and then the Mishnah just gives a couple of exclusions, things with the serrated edge and the fingernail. Okay, but it sounds like from the Mishnah that anything other than those things are not just okay, but lechatzchila a person can shecht with it. The Mishnah is extraordinarily confusing. Just one point in Rashi before we move on to the Gemara. Rashi says, what's the story with this fingernail? Story with the fingernails then is a serrated edge. Right? Not necessarily. Fingernail doesn't have to be a serrated edge. So Rashi writes in the Mishnah that the fingernail has a different issue. It's a different complication. As opposed to the saw and the sickle that the Mishnah spoke about that has a serrated edge. So Rashi writes that when it comes to the fingernail, the problem with the fingernail is that it's mechubar. It's connected. And in order to shecht, you have to shecht with something which is detached from the ground, or in this case, from the person. But since the fingernail is connected to the person, so the fingernail has another problem, which is it's mechubar, it is connected. We'll talk a lot today about this issue of mechubar. Okay. But as far as the Mishnah goes, and as far as the confusion of the Mishnah, so the Gemara tries to make sense of it. Hashochet di'evin lechatchila lo. Okay. The Mishnah starts off by saying that the Gemara starts off by saying that if you read the Mishnah reads, B'di'evet, ha-shochet. If you shecht with one of these things, it's okay. So that's B'di'evet, that's not lechatzchila. So Bishlam ha-be-magal yad, so I understand the sickle, dilma asilam ha-be-bidech-gisa, because the sickle has two sides to it. One side of the sickle is nice and smooth, and the other one has a serrated edge. And even if I use a smooth side, but it's very possible that I might just simply flip it over and I'll use a serrated edge. So I totally understand the problem with the sickle in that the it has a serrated side to it, and what's to stop a person from just simply flipping it over? Okay, so that's a gzera. So I understand that lichatchila one should not use it. But I don't understand, because the Mishnah says you can't use a stone and you can't use a reed. What's the problem with these materials? Assuming that they're sharp materials, why can't I cut with them? Why can't I use them for shechita or reminu? And not only that, but then the Gemara goes on to quote, "Bachol shochni kishach with anything, bein betzur, bein betzchuchas, bein bekrumah shalkana. You kishach with a stone, you kishach with glass, sharp glass, or you kishach with krumah shalkana, the edge of a reed." So it is clear from the Tosafta, and it is not a lashon of bidyevet, it is a lashon of lechatchila that you can check with other objects, other instruments. So the Gemara is just totally confused. Why is our Mishnah using a language of bidyevet when stone and reed are good materials to cut, assuming they're good, and according to the Tosefta that we just quoted, lechatchila it works. Lo kasha, kam betalush, kam b'mechubar. So the Gemara gets into pretty much what we're going to be discussing over the course of today. The difference is whether they're detached or attached to the ground. Items which are attached to the ground, you can't shecht with. Now, truth be told, is that this is subject to a machlokas.
Items that are attached to the ground.
Well,
the fingernail is attached.
Yeah, the fingernail. I confused you in the beginning of this discussion by discussing fingernail, but I only did it because Rashi was in the Mishnah, and you know I didn't want to miss an opportunity to speak out of Rashi. However, it's going to be more a function of being attached to the ground than it is attached, just simply attached. Right, you'll see over the course of today, it's really a function of being attached to the ground. That's going to be most of our discussion over the course of today. Fingernail on the person, I guess the person is considered grounded.
Well, there's a nail of it, like a claw of an animal, like a bear claw or something like that. Or like a claw of a lion.
No, I think it has to be connected to the ground. It's some kind of.
I mean, Rashi just simply says it's a function of being attached. Could be right. Could be we're not talking about the fingernail of a human being. I'm not sure. Okay, I'll start the discussion over there.
Would a human finger have enough strength to?
I mean, enough strength if we're, you know, certainly if we're talking about one of the smaller animals or a bird, yeah. In other words, that's what they do in the Beit HaMikdash. They do Malika with a bird.
Malika, yeah.
Yeah, but Malika is totally different, though. It comes in from the back of the neck. Okay, I'm not sure. The Amar of Kahana Shochet B'Mechubar LaKarka Rebbe Poser Rebbe Chiya Machshir. In other words, here we go. First thing we need to do is introduce ourselves to a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya. What if I shech with something that's connected to the ground? So in other words, here, let's imagine. Reed growing straight out of the ground. So now I just take an animal and I rub it against the side of the reed. I rub the neck against the side of the reed, and now I'm performing shechita. So what if I do that? So Rebbe says it's possible. It's absolutely disqualified. It's a drasha. We're going to learn the drasha a little bit later on this morning. Rebbe says you cannot cut with something that's connected to the ground. The problem is not the cut. The cut's fine. The problem is that it's just simple, a simple drasha, gzeres hakasuv, that it has to be disconnected from the ground in order for you to do shechita with that item. Okay, that's the opinion of Rebbe. That happens to be the halacha. But right now, we're not interested in the halacha. We're interested in understanding our Mishnah and saying a pshat in our Mishnah. And Rebbe Chiya's machshir. Rebbe Chiya says it's okay. Bidyevet, it's okay. So ad kam lo kam achshir Rebbe Chiya la bidyevet, and even Rebbe Chiya, who says that it's okay, says it's okay bidyevet. Aval lechatchila lo, but not lechatchila. Okay. So we start off with a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya. I shech with something that's connected to the ground. Rebbe says it's possible. It's not a good shechita bichlal. According to Rebbe Chiya, it's okay, but b'di'eved. And now I have a Mishnah. So what I'm going to say now as pshat in the Mishnah is our Mishnah is talking about the stone and reed being connected to the ground. And our Mishnah is going like Rebbe Chiya.
Why is Rebbe
arguing with Rebbe? Right. It's a little bit weird. Just to put in a little context over here, it's a little bit strange that given the choice of Rebbe either going with his own opinion when writing the Mishnah or with Rebbe Chiya's opinion, he goes with Rebbe Chiya over his own. It's not the first time we've seen that. We've seen that many times where Rebbe will give, when writing the Mishnayos, will give credence to somebody else's position over his.
But he's a student.
It's a little bit right. I was going to make that point. Right. It's a little bit strange. Rebbe Chiya is a student, so.
Rabbi,
okay.
The stone has been changed, though, right?
more to discuss about the stone, about what, where exactly the stone is. But let's just, for the time being, let's just simply say that the stone was part of the ground. It was the stone coming out of the ground, and it happened to have had a very sharp edge, and I used it to shecht. So again, so we have now a basic machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya. And now what we're going to say is that our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rebbe Chiya, that these items mentioned in our Mishnah, there's nothing wrong with the items per se. A sharp stone, a sharp reed, those would be fine. The problem is they're connected to the ground. Now the Mishnah doesn't say that, but we're going to say that because we're going to say a pshat in our Mishnah. It's connected to the ground. B'di'evit, it's fine according to Rebbe Chiya. Our Mishnah goes like Rebbe Chiya. Fine. B'mayu kimta k'Rebbe Chiya, b'di'evit. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's see where we are right now. Our Mishnah is going like Rebbe Chiya, and our Mishnah is talking about b'di'evit. Elahad d'tanya. Okay, but let's go back to the Braisa that we quoted just before. Bakol shochtin. I'm sorry, this is a new Braisa. We haven't seen this Braisa yet. It's a Tosefta. Bakol shochtin, you can shecht with any item. Bein betalush, bein bemechubar, whether it's connected or detached. Okay, other way around. Detached, connected. Bein she'asak lamala v'tzavar behem lamata. Bein she'asak lamata v'tzavar behem lamala. Now, it does not matter what's on top and what's on the bottom. Meaning, most of the time, you take the animal, you put the animal on the ground, right, neck facing up, and you shecht. It is not the most comfortable position for the animal, but for the shochet, it is certainly the more preferable position. Where the knife is on top, A, he sees what's going on, B, and much more importantly, he's in total control of the cutting action. Imagine the other way. Imagine the animal's on top and the knife is on the bottom, and he has to cut upwards. Aside from the fact that he's fighting the force of gravity, but more importantly than that, once he starts cutting, the animal obviously is losing life. The animal's force is going to come down on the knife. That's a big issue, right? We learned one of the psulei shechita, one of the five disqualifications of shechita is hadrasa. You can't have force coming forward to the knife. Whether the knife is coming to the neck or the neck's coming to the knife, it doesn't matter. So if you're shechting with the knife on the bottom, the animal's on the top, so that's gonna possibly be an issue of hadrasa. This Tosefta says it's okay. If it doesn't matter if the knife's on the top, neck's on the bottom, neck's on the top, knife is on the bottom, it doesn't matter. Both are acceptable, says the Tosefta. We'll come back to that point later on this morning. But meanwhile, however, what did the Tosefta just tell us? Tosefta says that you can shecht whether it is talush or mechubar, whether it's detached or connected, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't this right also seem like it's b'yevet?
Well, no. The Braisa says bakol shochtin. Bakol shochtin means this is that you have total clearance to shecht with any of these things. Bakol shochtin is a lashon lechatchila, and that's gonna lead to issues. Money lo rebi v'lo rebi chia. So now, who's the author of this Tosefta? Whose position does it represent? So, Rebbe Chiya di'evin in lechatzchila lo, because we just learned that according to Rebbe Chiya, it's only good, but b'di'evin. And Rebbe di'evin amilo, and it certainly can't be Rebbe's position, because Rebbe says that b'di'evin it's not good at all. So, we have a Tosefta now, and it is unattributable. We don't know who to attribute this brisa to. So, la'olam Rebbe Chiya v'afilu lechatzchila. So, the Gemara now will take a step backwards. And the Gemara will say, okay, we're going to now say that according to Rebbe Chiya, it works even lechatchila. You can shecht with something that's connected to the ground, afilu lechatchila. And the v'hai dekamiflugi b'di'evin, lo dicha kocha de Rebbe. Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah. Now our Mishnah is talking about b'di'evin. So what do you do with our Mishnah? So our Mishnah is really Rebbe Chiya. Our Mishnah would even allow it lechatchila. And the fact that the Mishnah talks in a language of b'di'evid, just there to show you the strength of Rebbe's position. Meaning Rebbe says, I'm so disagreeing with Rebbe Chiya that even b'di'evid it will not work. I'm sorry, that's an explanation of the Braisa. What about the Mishnah? So the Gemara is going to point out, Mani lo Rebbe v'lo Rebbe Chiya. So Rebbe Chiya filo chatchila, Rebbe di'evin amilo. So now that we have Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya at the extreme positions, where Rebbe says that if I shech something connected to the ground, it doesn't work at all. And according to Rebbe Chiya, it works even lechatchila. So the Mishnah is right in the middle. But the Mishnah is not going like anyone. So la'olam Rabbi Chiya afilu chatchila u'masisin diktani hashochei Rebbe. So the Gemara says, okay, so our Mishnah is going like Rebbe. Okay, we're still confused because we just got done saying the whole discussion started by saying that Rebbe says it's no good afilu b'di'evet. Rebbe disqualifies shechting with something connected to the ground, and now we're pointing to our Mishnah and his Mishnah, which is talking about a stone or a reed which is connected to the ground, and our Mishnah says that b'di'evet it's okay. And now we're saying that our Mishnah is going like Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Kasha de Rebbe ad Rebbe. That's difficult. Lo Kasha. Kam be mechubra mikaru, kam be tosha vasof chibru. Okay. So the Gemara now is going to land on basically where we're going to be. Our Mishnah is going like Rebbe. Okay, that's a little bit more comforting in terms of the issue that we brought up earlier. Meaning, how can the Mishnah go like Rebbe Chiya over Rebbe? Okay, our Mishnah is going like Rebbe. Rebbe does disqualify shechting with something connected to the ground. But that's if it's something which was originally and continues to be connected to the ground. Never detached from the ground. So a stone that simply was in the ground, never taken out, never put back in again. Right? Or a reed, which was grown straight from the ground, never attached and reconnected to the ground. Those things are puzzle. They're disqualified. If, however, it was disconnected and it was put back into the ground again, so fundamentally, how do we view it? Disconnected. But you want to call it Mara sign? I'm not sure exactly how you want to phrase it. But you shouldn't shecht with it once you reattach it to the ground. But if you do, the shechita is a good shechita. That is all now a formulation of the opinion of Rebbe.
Why didn't one's difference for Rebbe? Why? That's the difference between detachment and reattached versus never detached.
Well,
if they're both in the ground, why do you care what happens?
Because the psul of being in the ground is something that was originally in the ground, something that grew from the ground, right? Something that naturally is from the ground. Once you detach it, it is now fundamentally considered detached from the ground. Even if I put it back into the ground, it's still fundamentally viewed as detached. We're going to see other areas of halacha. So this is most of our daf today. Other areas in halacha where basically we're going to say the same thing. That once you disconnect something from the ground, it's fundamentally considered detached. Even if I put it back into the ground, a house is a perfect example. Right? Your house, my house. The materials used are all from the ground. Okay? But how do we view the house? Something that's attached or something that's detached? What difference would it make? So you'll see later on. What difference does it make? So, but we're going to say what we're saying right now. Fundamentally, we're going to view it as something that's detached. The house is not part of the ground. Again, legabe which halacha, so we'll talk later on this morning.
How can you
reattach
a reed?
How
can
you...
Yeah, so... When you detach it, how do you
attach
it?
Right. So there is a Rashi coming up later on this morning that suggests that you took the reed out and you put the reed back in again. I'm not sure.
To do what? To grow again?
Okay.
Is everything you can do that?
Correct,
you
correct.
You don't have to do it back in the ground for a few weeks.
Correct, unclear. Unclear about the reed.
The question is, how do we know the climate of the reed better is not...
Okay, so the Gemara is going to quote a drasha later on. You're right. From a position of logic, there's no reason that I would make a distinction. It's going to come up later on. Okay. So the Gemara says, and how do you know there's a difference? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how. To tell you, because we learned in the following braisa. Okay. It's unbelievable. The Mishnah is describing some sort of machine, some sort of mechanical device. This is a Mishnah writing. Some sort of mechanical device that shechts. The knife is attached to the wheel, and the wheel gets cranked, and that is going to shecht. Okay, it's a machine. It's a mechanical device. B'mechuba lekarka shechita sukshera. If I shecht something which is connected to the ground, it's okay. Right? Shechita sukshera, that's b'di'evet, it's okay. Not sucking because of a shachava, shechita sukshera. I take a knife, I stick the knife in the wall. And now I just run the neck of the animal along the knife. It's okay. Shechita sukshera. Hayatzur yotzei min hakoso kana ola me'ala v'shacha bo shechita sapsula. And then the braisa says that if I have a reed, let me go in order. If I have a stone connected to the wall, or if I have a reed growing from the ground, and I shech with these items, it's pasul. It's disqualified. And the Gemara now on the top of Tet Zayin says, Kashin Ahadade. Wow. I don't understand. The Braitha just gave the thumbs up to shechting with something connected to the ground, shechting with a knife that's planted into a wall. But then when it says stone and stone and reed, so then it says it's no good. How do you understand that? So the Gemara says you're going to understand it based on what we just said. So, something which is natural, something that grows out of the ground naturally, that's no good. That's no good bichlal uchlal. That's simply disqualified. That's the last line of the Braisa. However, the knife stuck into the wall, or anything connected to the ground which was detached and reattached, b'di'evit, it's okay. Shchitas ukshera, that is going to be okay b'di'evit. And once again now that we're the wiser, this all reflects the opinion of Rebbe. What about according to Rebbe Chia? Rebbe Chia says it's fine even lechatchila. Okay, good. But now what we're saying is the Mishnah is going like Rebbe. This Braisa that we caught in the bottom of the Amud certainly goes like Rebbe as well. Amar. Okay, the Gemara is going to take us off on a fascinating digression, because the Gemara, one of the things that we just quote in the Braisa is that if I have a wheel and I crank the wheel and attached to the wheel I have a knife and it shechs an animal, so the Braisa says the shechita is fine. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have another Braisa that describes some sort of mechanism. We don't know what it's describing yet, but it's just describing some sort of mechanism, and it says that if you shech with this, it's pasul. Lokasha habisarna de pachra, habisarna de maya. The first answer of the Gemara is fascinating. The Gemara says it depends on what is the force of that wheel. Sarna de pachra, Rashi says, gagal shal yosim shal cheres. Right, the person making pottery, right? Remember when we were back in camp in the days and we made pottery? Now, usually it's made, right, the wheel turns with a machine. In the good old days, right, before electricity, so there was a system of pulleys, and you press down on the floor, and you're cranking. You're the force behind the rotation of the wheel. Okay, so Rashi writes, "Gagal sheyotzim shacheres v'yeshlam muchnis shemagalglam bo kishechok kenas akli." Right, and they make a hole in the kli by turning the table and putting their finger in, and that's how you make your pottery. But the point is that you're the force behind the rotation, right? You're causing the wheel to turn. That would be okay. Sarcha de Maya, Rashi, Shchitaso Psula, Shehamayin Megalgalanoso. That is a wheel that's turned by a river. It's not your force. It's somebody else's force. The Ein Shchita, let me just finish Rashi. The Ein Shchita Zu Mikolach Adam. And this shechita does not come from kolach adam. In order for shechita to work, you need kolach gavra. You need human force, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara, which we're going to learn later on. Nafla v'shachta shechita sapsula. Let's say, for example, you hold the knife off the edge of a rooftop. You allow the knife to fall. So the only force behind that knife is gravity. You did not assist whatsoever in the knife falling to the ground. So we're going to learn later on that shechita is not a good shechita, because that's not kolach gavra. That's not human force. That's the force of gravity. Right? You need to be the force, the driving force behind the shechita. So if the wheel is forced by water and not by you, the shechita is not going to be a good shechita. Okay.
But man made that wheel to take the water.
No. Even if the wheel was made by you, it doesn't matter. You have to be
the rock and the reed in the ground.
This is a digression. This is not the issue over here is not connected to the ground versus disconnected to the ground. The issue over here now is, what is the force behind the wheel? What's the force behind the cut? So if you're cranking the wheel, that's good. If the water's cranking the wheel, that's no good, because you're not the force behind it. You need koach. So that is suggestion number one of the Gemara, and that resolves the discrepancy between the two braisas. Okay? Next, V'i ba'yisei mahava ha'besana demayo. Or, we can say that both wheels are turned by water. Okay? If both wheels are turned by water, so how can one braisa say that it's okay? How can the next braisa say it's not okay? V'lo kasha ha'bekoach rishon ha'bekoach sheni. And the Gemara says the difference is koach rishon versus koach sheni. This takes us into the world of Gurama. Okay? And it goes like this. right? Koach Rishon is that if the force of the Shechita comes as a direct result of my action, so then that's what the Gemara refers to over here as Koach Rishon, and that makes the Shechita good Shechita, because that's Koach Gavra. If, however, the force that's generated is not a direct cause of me, but an indirect cause of me, so that's the Gemara's terminology over here is Koach Sheni, it's what we call Gerama. And that would not be a good Shechita, because that's not considered Koach Gavra. Even though, right, anyone make a, what's that called, a Rube,
Rube Goldberg.
Right, a contraption. Right, the mousetrap is a game we used to play when we were kids. Right, where this hits this, and this hits that, and this hits that. So good. So everything can be going back to your first force, but that's a grumma. That's not considered a direct force, and it's indirect, and therefore it's considered. It's not considered like you shechted the animal. And the Gemara says we're going to take this very same idea about direct versus indirect, and we're going to apply it to another area of halacha. Okay, not a pleasant one, but the application is a great application. Hi, mine the kafte lechavre the ashkal la birka bitka demaya umeis chayav my tamagari didehu. Let's say you put somebody right next to water, although the water is being held back by a plank, and you open up the plank. It's worse than waterborne. You're killing him. So, and you open up the plank, and the water comes out, and
the reverse Dutch boy.
Right? Yeah. And the water kills him. So now chayev. So you're now liable of first degree murder. Right? I'm using English law, but we don't really mean first degree murder. What we mean over here is that the cause of death is a direct cause of your action.
It's wrong when the kid removed, the person removed the water.
Okay. Wait. Giri didehu, that's your arrow. That's considered your arrow. De ahani be, vahani mila bekoach rishon, ava bekoach sheni. But if it comes not as a direct result, but an indirect result, grama ba'amahu. So that's grama. So now we all need to basically ask this simple question over here. In the case of the water, and the allowing the water to come out, so when is it considered koach rishon versus when is it considered koach sheni? So I'll read Rashi to you, I'll translate Rashi to you. I'm not saying that Rashi is going to be very clear in terms of making a distinction, but Rashi is sensitive to the idea that we need to distinguish what's koach rishon versus what's koach sheni, what's direct versus what's indirect. Rashi writes the following. Koach rishon, shekashro samuch l'sfas hamayim. You tied up the person right next to the lip of the water. So he's right next to the oncoming water, but obviously there's a board that's stopping the water. The kevin she nakav b'sfas amayim miyad ba'u amayim lefiv. And then by releasing the water, right? Rashi over here describes putting a hole in the board by allowing the water to come through. So then the water immediately hits the person. That's koach rishon. Then the next Rashi about koach sheni. Shekashru berachok, he was at a distance from the water. The hamayim halchusham, and the water does eventually get to him. Afapishu nekev hanakav the halchulasham pater. Even though you cause the release of water, but that is not considered direct. That's considered indirect. The grama b'amahu, and that's considered grama. Rashi does not give an actual linear difference between case number one and case number two. Rashi just gives a difference between immediate versus non-immediate, right? Obviously, as learners of the halacha, we'd like perhaps even a clear distinction of what would be considered direct versus what's considered indirect. But the idea is that you be potter. Now, I need not say, but I'll say it anyway. In the second case, so you won't get capital punishment, right? You won't be executed. Right. After 120 years, if you make it that long, right? After 120 years, so, right, you'll have what to answer for, right? For the cause, right? The cause of death, right? Even though it was an indirect cause, but still, right, there was...
Even if you have two witnesses and all the rest?
It doesn't matter. Correct. meaning you can have due process, all due process. They gave you a warning and everything. You're not, that is not a capital crime. It's certainly a crime, and it's certainly you have, you're going to have what to answer for, but Beis Din will not put this person to death.
Is the intention also important? Maybe like if he wants intent to kill the guy rather than killing the guy, but killing the guy.
Well, it's intent is important because right there has to be an intent to violate the crime, and that's ascertained by a warning that happens beforehand. But if he said I didn't mean to kill him, right?
That's not too scary.
Right. It really depends on more on the type of the force of action is more important than what his intent is in that regard. Meaning, if this is something that normally would kill somebody, even if he says, "Oh, I wasn't really interested in killing him," all right, that's killing, right?
There was a similar case in Sanhedrin where if the water came onto him directly, as you say, like
right,
an arrow,
right?
And if it was merely that he was tied up on the shore and the tide came,
right,
it would be perfect.
Correct. Okay, and all this was by way of digression because the Braisa talked about using a wheel. One Braisa said the wheel was okay, the other Braisa said the wheel is not okay. And so the Gemara gives two answers to explain the two Braisas. Answer number one, a wheel cranked by you versus a wheel cranked by the water. Or answer number two, which then turned into this very interesting discussion of Koach Rishon versus Koach Sheni, direct versus indirect. And now we're seeing two applications, two totally different areas of halacha, but two applications. Meaning in the world of shechita, it's got to be direct. Indirect is no good. That's considered grama, and that's not a good shechita. Same thing when it comes to murder, murdering a person. So in order to be liable with a capital crime and to be punishable by death, it has to be direct. If it's not direct, if it's indirect, so it's not, it is a crime for sure, but it is not punishable by death. Okay.
Do we generally say Grama
Benizak and Patur? Grama? Benizak. Yeah, right. Yosef Rav Achore de Rabbi Chia of Rabbi Chia Kame de Rabbi Vyosef Rabbi Vekama. Okay. We have a picture over here. We're going back now to our discussion of attached versus detached from the ground. Okay? All that was a great diversion, but now we're back to the discussion of connected versus disconnected. So here the Gemara paints a picture for us of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi and Rav, right? All the people that are connected one to another. Rav was a nephew of Rabbi Chia, right? And Rabbi's somehow related.
Yeah,
definitely. Right? Rav was a nephew of Rabbi Chia. Was Rabbi related? Okay. Okay. Anyway, so but you're right though. Rabbi Chia was a student. So the Yosef Rabbi the Kamer Minan Shchita Shu Betalosh. Okay. So Rabbi starts off by discussing how do I know that when you shecht it has to be with something that's disconnected from the ground. Right. This is Rabbi talking. Shenemar v'yikachet samachal l'shchot, because Avraham when he shechted his son, which bizarrely enough is the source for many halachas of shchita, even though he didn't actually go through with it, but still v'yikach es samachal, he took the knife. So it has to be something which is disconnected from the ground. So now, this is Rebbe talking, okay? Lishitaso, because we learned earlier that according to Rebbe, it has to be something that is disconnected from the ground. If you shech with something that's connected to the ground, the shechita is not a good shechita. Good. Everything's good. Everything is consistent. So Amalei Rav la Rebbe Chia, my kamar. So Rav turns to Rebbe Chia, and apparently Rav didn't hear Rebbe. And he wanted to hear what Rebbe just said. So he turns to Rav Chia, and he says to his uncle, Rabbi Chia, what did Rabbi just say? Now, you understand the answer that he's about to receive, because we also know that Rabbi Chia disagrees with Rabbi, and Rabbi Chia just simply doesn't agree with the drasha, does not agree with the drasha. So you can only imagine that the answer that Rabbi Chia is going to give to Rav is going to have just a hint, just a sprinkle of, I'm not buying this. Okay, Amar Lei Vav Dichsiv Aufta Kaamar. You know what Rebbe said? What Rebbe said, this is Rashi's first explanation, is it's kind of like writing Vav on a tree, right? Picture in your mind now taking a pen or something, you know, maybe a stronger marker, and writing the letter Vav, which is just simply a line going down on a tree. Now the tree is not a flat surface. The tree is bumpy. It's got a lot of. It's barky.
It's not a sycamore.
Right. And when you try to write a vav, so there's going to be a lot of cracks between the letter vav. And there's.
That's really,
this is Rashi's first explanation. And you know what Rebbe said? I'll tell you what Rebbe said. It's got a lot of holes in it. It's not fluid. This is Rebbe Chia telling Rav. That's what Rebbe said.
Right.
Okay. V'ha kraka.
How did he come up with that conclusion?
But he didn't. So what's the Gemara? V'ha kraka amar. Yeah, but Rebbe's pointing a pasuk. What's Rebbe Chia doing with that pasuk? Kra zeruse de Avram kamashmalan. The pasuk is not telling us anything about hilchos shechita. The pasuk is telling us how excited Avram was to do the mitzvah. Avram was told, shecht your son. Avram jumps, Avram runs, Avram does a mitzvah. How does this pasuk necessarily reflect the zrizus of Avraham? So Rashi says, Rashi is the first wide line on the page, shechash v'nizar meaning Avram was a boy scout. He came prepared. Meaning he was told, shecht your son. Avram didn't say, we'll figure out what to shecht with my son with when I get there. Avram brought a knife with him. Just simply because he wanted to be prepared in order to do the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, good. Good. But that in no way reflects on that when you shecht, it has to be something detached from the ground. Rabbi Chia says, that's not the point of the pasuk. The point of the pasuk is just simply to show us the zrizus that Avram had in order to do the mitzvah. Okay. Amar Rava. Okay. Pshita li tosh of itself chibur linyin avodos kochav mehavei talosh. Here we go. I take something, I pluck it off the ground. I put it back into the ground again. So Rabbi Chia says, sorry, moving on. Rava says that as far as Avodah Zarah, the halachas of Avodah Zarah are concerned, it's considered detached. Okay? For example, the Amamar, HaMishachiv Labai Shalom Asro. Let's say a person bows down to his own house. His house is his God. Okay? There are people that are very into their houses. But this person is, you know, doesn't want just a nice house, he also wants his house to be his deity. Okay. So he bows down to his own house. By the way, you know why it says his own house? Because he can't aser somebody else's house. Ein adam osa davashenu shalo, it's got to be your own house. Fine. So he bows down to his own house. What's the halacha? His house now is considered a cheftza shel avodah zarah. It is now, has the din of avodah zarah. No one can get he can't get benefit from his own house. Okay. The Isakadaka have mechuber. Now let's think about it. We're talking about a house. Isn't a house something that's connected to the ground? And important addition, something connected to the ground cannot become avodah zarah. A mountain cannot become avodah zarah. The pasuk says, Parshas Re'eh, Elohim al haharim velo haharim Elohim. Something on the mountaintop can become a deity. The mountain itself cannot be deified. It cannot turn into a cheftza shel avodah zarah.
So you can burn the house down.
So not only can you,
should.
Right? Lo yidbak me'umah min acherim. Right? Okay. Even though it's a house, fine. Le'inyan hechsher zrayim tanaihi. Now, in other areas of halacha, something that was disconnected and attached, does that have a din of attached? So the Gemara says, in the world of Hechsher Zrayim, debatable. Okay.
In the case of Mizbeach, it wasn't. Because Mizbeach was detached and there was Yitash,
right?
And you
right.
Take all the stones and
right. So based on what we just learned, if you offer a Avodah Zarah on that Mizbeach needs to be destroyed. Right. Okay. Hechsher Zrayim. Okay, this is going to take a couple of minutes to give you a little background over here. Okay, we've discussed this many times throughout Shas, right? An entire Masechta in Seder Tahara is dedicated to the topic. In order for food to become tummy, it first has to be mukhshar lekabel tuma. It needs preparation. Preparation means it comes into contact with water. Okay, and that contact with water must be water or six other liquids. And that contact with the water must be l'ratzon, meaning he must want the contact with the water. Today what we're going to be learning is a new wrinkle in the halacha of Heksher, which is the following. In order for that water to make something Mukshel LeKabel Tumah, it has to be water which was designated for something that is detached from the ground. If that water was primarily designated for something connected to the ground, that water cannot be Heksher. It cannot create food to be Mukshel LeKabel Tumah.
So dew is not considered designated for the ground?
Dew that falls down on the ground and was not used for something that was disconnected, that cannot be Heksher. That's absolutely correct.
But the thing is, it's not functional dew, it's the fact that the produce attached to the ground. So something is like there.
That's also true. But let's say, for example, that I want water to... I want to clean my... I want to go to the back and I want to irrigate my field with water. Okay? So, and then that water comes into contact with detached fruit, that fruit's not Heksher. Because the water was principally used for something of the ground. Okay? It's Rashi. I'm giving the cliff notes to this discussion. Rashi goes through the psukim inside. Rashi takes us through all the drushas. We're not going to do that here. Just simply, it's a function of time. Okay? So this is all based on drasha.
So Rashi considers that
as Zeres and Pasim. He quotes the Mechilta. I mean the Mechilta, the Sifra. Okay. Fine. It's all based on Pesukim. Yeah, Mechilta. Right, Torah's gone.
So the water has to be designated for Heksher, or the water should not be...
Not only does the water have to be designated for Heksher, but it has to be designated for something that's disconnected from the ground. Okay.
Neutral water, for example. The water does not be...
No such thing as neutral water. Right, it has to be water which A, you want, but B, you want to use for something that's detached from the ground.
The water of dew accumulated in a container, and all of a sudden you decide to use that water for action. Before you didn't decide, but just happened to accumulate.
Great. So watch. Did not. Okay. So we're going to learn a Mishnah in Machshirin. Okay. Hakofa kara lakosu b'shoshet tu dachare zebichiyutan. Okay. I have a bowl. And I put the bowl on the wall, and I want water to run on the bowl. For the purpose of the bowl is obviously something disconnected from the ground. Good. That water now is mukshir. I'm trying to think of the right word to say. Right? It's that water can create heksher. Okay, let's say it like that. Hareza bechiyutan. Bishra shalo yilake hakotel, eino bechiyutan. But if the only reason why I put the bowl over there is so that the wall does not become wet, and I'm not really interested in the bowl getting wet, my interest over here is just simply so that the wall remain dry, okay. So now this water is not water that can create heksher. Hagufakasha, Amar Bishosh Tudachare Zebichiyutan. Ha Bishosh Yadech HaKosel Ein Zebichiyutan. So the Gemara says, now if you take these two statements and analyze these both of these statements, you should be walking away a little bit confused. Because the first statement says that if I want the bowl to get wet, so then that's bechiyutan. That water now can create heksher. Meaning if that water now comes into contact with any food, the food now is prepared.
You're pleased with the fact that it was wet.
Right. Now, but if I just stopped over there, don't go to the next statement of the Mishnah. Stop at that statement of the Mishnah. What do you draw from that? That if I want the wall to get wet, the wall's not good enough. It's got to be the kli. Okay. V'hadutani bishva shalo yilaka hakosal nebichiyutan. So, if I want to protect the wall from getting wet, so that's eino bichiyutan. That water now is not mukshar. Now, what do I draw from that? If I want the wall to get wet, ha bishvil shiyudach hakodol, hareze bichiyutan. So, what's happening over here in the Mishnah is that I've had inferences from the first statement of the Mishnah and the second statement of the Mishnah, but those inferences do not agree. Amar Rav Elazar Tavra, Misha Shanazu lo Shanazu. So Rav Elazar says, you're going to have to break up Tavra from the word Shover. Aramaic to Hebrew, the Tav becomes the Shin. Shover, break it. Meaning the first statement of the Mishnah does not agree with the second statement of the Mishnah. And what's the issue? Rashi explains. The issue is exactly what we've been discussing. That wall, is that connected to the ground? Or is that disconnected from the ground? Well, it's only sitting on the ground. We understand that. But in order to make the wall, I took the rocks away from the ground, and then I reattach them to the ground. And this is a machlokas now in the world of machshirin as to whether or not it's talush of a self chibru, something that was disconnected and now reconnected. Is that considered part of the ground? In the world of machshirin, debatable machlokas. Now, you're gonna ask me, what's the difference between avodah zarah and machshirin? Meaning, if we have a fundamental rule, so why don't we just simply consistently go through and say, look, in the world of avodah zarah, a house is considered disconnected from the ground. I bow down to my house, I deify my house. My house becomes a chesed shel avodah zarah. And now in the world of machshirin, it's debatable. So why don't we consistently look at every application, just simply say the rule should be the same? You're going to ask me that question? I don't know. I don't have a name. I don't have a response in terms of why the halacha would fluctuate. The basic rule fluctuates based on which halacha we're talking about.
Different concepts.
Right. That's part of the answer. That's only the start of an answer. But I don't know. Okay.
The action.
Okay, so Rav Papa Amar Kula Tana, who Rav Papa gives a different answer, meaning the point that the Gemara was making, that Tanaihi, that's a machlokas Tanaim, that the Gemara just made through Rav Elazar. Rav Papa would like to suggest, no, maybe we could just learn the Mishnah as one fluid Mishnah, Habakos Amara, Habakos Abinyan, and he comes up with an ingenious answer, that the wall that is, the water that comes into contact with the wall, is which is not Heksher, that's the wall of a cave. That's a natural wall. Okay. Right. The wall, however, that you made, the man-made wall, that's talush of asof chibru. Okay. V'hachikamar. Ha-kofakara ha-kosa b'shoshetud achare zebechiyutan ha-b'shoshiyud ha-kosein zebechiyutan ba-medvar mamor b'kotam ha-ra. If it's a natural wall, so that water now came into contact with a natural wall, that water is not heksher, it's not mukhsher. Ava b'kosa b'nyan b'shoshelo yilake ha-kosa hudeina b'chiyutan ha-b'shoshiyud ha-kotol ha-re zebechiyutan. But if it's a man-made wall, so that man-made wall is considered disconnected from the ground, and that water now is considered water which can create heksher. Okay, that's Rav Papa's response. Bye, Rava. A little bit more for today. You can go either way. It happens to be that the Rambam prefers Rav Papa's understanding of that, but, I mean, Rav Elazar was also a valid way of learning the Mishnah. Bye, Rava. Okay, we're going to go back now. Tal Shuvah Sof Chibro, Le'inyan Shechita Mai. Okay, now let's go back to our discussion. Our discussion is, if I have something which is disconnected from the ground and I reattach it to the ground, can I shecht with it? Now, Rashi points out, what's Rava asking? Meaning, wasn't that today's daf? Machlokas Rebbe Chia, right? The discussion of the reed and the stone, meaning, what's happening right now? Rava, who's an Amora, third generation Amora, he seems to be asking everything that we've been discussing already. So Rashi says, first Rashi on the Amud, lo mashmalei l'Rava k'demefarsh v'azal. Like Rava, right? Rava doesn't buy into a lot of what we've discussed earlier, and so Rava is readdressing the same question. So Tashma haya tzor yotzei min hakotel oshaya kana ola me'ala v'shachar bo shechitas p'sula. So the Braisa says that if the stone comes out from a wall, or the reed grows from the ground, and you shech with it, it's going to be pasul. So hachem b'mai skin because amara dekanamik titana dumi dekano la me'elav shmamina. So Rava will tell you, good. The Bryce is talking about a natural stone, a stone that you never took off the ground. That's not my discussion. My question is something that you took out of the ground and you put back in again. Tashma, not talking because of a shachavash chitasak sheira. Stick a knife into a wall and you shech with its kosher. So Rava says that proves nothing as well. Shani sakin de la mevatole. Because when you stick a knife into the wall, the knife doesn't become part of the wall. Right? No. I'm just asking the wall, please hold my knife. Okay, I know. It's like the conversations I have sometimes with my kids, right? That's all I'm doing. I'm just asking the wall, hold my knife. The knife doesn't become part of the wall. So that's also not part of this discussion. My discussion is something that was disconnected from the ground, and I reattach it to the ground. Tashma. So the Gemara says, so even the next part of the Braisa doesn't change Rava's opinion. Because the next part of the braisa could just be describing the knife in the wall. So, fine. So Rava basically asks the question, what if I have something detached from the ground and I reattach it to the ground? And Rava says, and I don't know. And that braisa that we quoted earlier, the part of the braisa that says that's disqualified, that's talking about natural. Something that's naturally connected to the ground. The part of the braisa that's talking about a knife in the wall, that's not considered connected to the ground. That's just simply, here, wall, hold my knife so I can shech this animal. That's not even in the discussion of Chabru, Toshu, Vasov, Chibru. Okay, good. So Rava asked the question. Rava leaves the question unresolved. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll finish up the discussion about shechting with things that are connected to the ground. Machlokas, Rebbe Chia, Hedi, the halacha falls like Rebbe. So you can't shech with something connected to the ground. If it's detached and reattached, so b'di'evet the shechita would be a good shechita. B'di'evet it would work. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue.